Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I try not to get too much of the politics up here, but I'm going to do that a little bit today. And you may remember back in the campaigns when Mitt Romney was running for president and Sarah Palin was his vice presidential candidate, she sarcastically asked in response to Barack Obama's campaign mantra, "So how's that hopey changey stuff doing for you?" Well, I'd like us to think about that. We as Christians believe in hope and change. That is a promise in Scripture. It is a promise from Jesus. And I believe it is a promise that we can count on. But as we read this passage from Matthew, we have to wonder. John is in prison. And my suspicion is most of us have no involvement with the penal system. We haven't spent a night in jail. We haven't had a term in prison. But I can say this, not having been there, prison is not fun. Nobody wants to be sent to prison. Now, for John, going to prison is not the same as it would be for someone today in the early 21st century America. The Romans and their client states did not have sprawling penal establishments. When you went to jail, it was usually a holding process before you were executed. That was it. The Romans were able to maintain order with the threat of violence. And they carried through on that threat. And so people were not inclined to break the law. Now, what kind of crime did John commit? He spoke up against the state. He said that there was a new king coming. And of course, we know that new king was Jesus. And powers like Herod did not want to hear this kind of seditious talk. And so their response was to make it go away permanently. But John is sitting here in prison, awaiting his fate, wondering what is going on. He had shared the prophecies from Isaiah. He was reminded of them by Jesus. And one of the promises that had been made is that the prisoners would be set free. And yet John is cooling his heels in a jail cell. What's going on? Was there disappointment on John's part? Most likely so. Was it unwarranted? Not really. But it shows that John was a prophet from the old order, and he did not get fully what Jesus is all about. The kingdom of heaven is something that Matthew talks about a lot. And one of the things we discussed back when I was in divinity school was the eschatological reality of the kingdom being already and not yet. And that sounds a little bit confusing, but God was breaking into our world with this new kingdom, and it was unfolding as we live and speak, but it's not fully here yet. Now, of course, people like things to be done immediately. And I don't know about you, but I found Amazon to be overly convenient. And I was accustomed to getting things delivered within 3 days, and then 24 hours. And then the pandemic came along, and all of a sudden it took them longer to get stuff to me. Now, here I am up in central northern New Hampshire, getting things delivered to me in 48 hours or 72 hours. That's pretty good. And this expectation, this desire to have everything be made new and whole and right, is true for people looking to the Messiah. So the people of Judah, the children of Israel, were waiting for things to be made right. And they were expecting the Messiah to show up, to snap his fingers, and everything was going to be fine. And the prophecy from Isaiah was given at a time when the children of Israel returned to their homeland from exile. And they were having troubles. And some of them wondered what's going on. And Isaiah was telling them, God is at work. And I'll say that to you too. God is at work. And during the season of Advent, when we're waiting and preparing, as we get deeper into Advent, maybe we're getting a little antsy. We want Christmas to show up. And we want everything to be perfect. So I wandered into our living room yesterday as we were watching some soccer on the TV. And Rachel was flipping through some stations, and we saw a movie that featured talking puppies. Now, do you know, I used to have a dog, and I'm glad Henley never talked to us, but Henley had a way of communicating with us. And talking puppies seemed to be appropriate for this season. We're looking for a miracle. But frankly, how freaked out would you be if your dog started talking to you? Think about that. So we want miracles, but miracles we can manage. Miracles we can make sense of. Miracles that don't bend the rules of nature or science too much. And then we start finding ways to say the miracles aren't miracles. They're literary devices. And before you know it, we've defined God down to a character we can manage. We cannot manage God. God is bigger than all of us. God is smarter than all of us. I don't know what plan God has. That wasn't shared with me in divinity school. And I can say this. No other person on earth knows what God's plan is. But the big plan, the plan in which humanity and the world are redeemed and restored, that's going to happen. And rather than just sit back and wait for it to happen and complain that it's not happening fast enough, I think we're invited to contribute to making that happen. So last week, we were doing a little bit of that here at church, and it was just by opening our doors to listen, which was assembling the holiday packets and baskets that many of you had contributed to. And the parish hall and the parlor were filled with gifts going out to needy people. And it was really impressive to see all this stuff and to see all the work that was going on. But the image I will carry with me for a long time was when I was walking into the church on Friday morning, and a mom and a little girl were leaving the building with a bag of gifts with some wrapping paper sticking out of it. And the little girl was wearing bunny ears. And it was a lovely image. Now, I don't like to make lots of assumptions about people, but I presume that the folks who are coming here to get help from Listen need it. And I imagine they had challenges to deal with. But here was joy. And that's what the church is here to help deliver. And I know we can have our disagreements. We can argue over money. fortunately not too much. We can argue about how things should be organized or done, but that's not what the church is here for. The church is here to share love and joy and hope. So I feel for John sitting in jail, knowing that nothing good was going to come for him. But listen to Jesus. Jesus, who is loving, who we see as someone who cares. Jesus says, "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind?" And a reed was a symbol used by Herod's house. "What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes?" Well, it could be soft robes or maybe a baseball cap with a slogan on the front. "Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So John has received some affirmation from Jesus. Your work is important. But you are not the final word. John was not the final word. John was a messenger, a herald of God's grace and glory. And I imagine that it was a little difficult for him to get his mental arms around that. But each of us here is called to be a messenger. Each of us here is called to share God's grace and love and glory with one another and with the wider community. And we do that when we host groups like Listen, or when we host musical groups like Bel Canto that will be here later today, and others. When strangers come in, my hope is that we will welcome them and treat them like they mean something to us. The church isn't about statistics. We're not here to rack up membership numbers. But we do want to grow. The word of Jesus, the message of hope that Jesus shares, is one that more people should hear. We're not a private club. We're not some place that wants to keep it all to ourselves. We are an evangelistic mission. And I'm not telling you to go stand out in front of the church and a sandwich board, but I do want you to think about how you can share God's love with other people. And today being Joy Sunday, I think it's particularly important to share that joy. So I'm going to issue an apology to anybody I've snapped at, anybody I've been short with, family, friends, church colleagues. I appreciate you all. And even if I don't always show it, your actions bring joy to my life. And one of the things I'll encourage everybody here to do is to say thank you to those in their lives, to let them know how they've brought some joy to you. And that's a way that you can share the gospel, which is what God wants us to do. So we're getting close to Christmas, but we're not there yet. We have a little bit more time to wait. And my hope is that the waiting will be good and that everything you've been waiting for will arrive. I'm sure it will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you this day for the gift of Scripture. We thank you for the ministry of John, and we thank you for the work of all the disciples throughout the ages. In their name we pray. Amen.